Blog Talk Radio.
Truly I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now you come on in this house where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. And that feast is a continual refreshing, a continuous revival, a perpetuating renewal of the power of God working amongst the kingdom of mankind. You've tuned into the manner of reality where the truth will make you free. And he that the Son has set free is free and free indeed. We're not built upon vain religiosity or denomination or the very networking of various organizations. We're built upon the truth, the elementation that God is God and that he reigns and he rules. And the Lord, he do reign, and blessed be that rock. And the God of our salvation be exalted on this wonderful day, this wonderful and powerful Wednesday. You got it. December 30th, 2020. We are thanking God for just being God, and beside him, there being none other. And you know something, when you get into the very elementation and the height and the depth and the breath of God, you will come to know him as not only being the Almighty, you will know him as being your Redeemer, your Keeper, your Protector, your Healer, your Provider, and everything that you need. And thank God for Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, who is our King, who is our Sovereign Majesty, whose name is above every name. It is in his name, not our names, not our provisions, not our appropriations, but in his name, through the authority given to him through that name, every situation must bow, must surrender. Every tongue must confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. That's right. He is our holiness. He's the only holiness we have, because all of our righteousness is but filthy rags. It is through him that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And thank God for being with you on this Wednesday as we're preparing to go into another year. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm speaking in the authority in his name. This is a year of greatness, a year of healing, a year of great provisions, a year of miracles, an acceptable year of our Lord. It's coming, guys. It's coming. In 2 days, we will be sitting in 2021. That's right, 2021. What a year in review. We've reviewed this year. And I want you to sit down and just think for a moment. Drop whatever it is that you're doing and just pause. Push the pause button and reflect back on this year. We have to say God is a keeper. He kept us safe. He kept us healthy. He shielded us from all hurt, harm, danger, disease, plagues, and sickness. He put his loving arms of protection around us. Because why? We are his inheritors. We are the inheritors of the promise. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what your height appropriation is. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter whether you live in the rural, the suburban, or the urban. Where Jesus is, it's heaven there. Amen. And it's such a wonderful knowledge to have this revelation operating full-fledged modus operandi in your life, in your mind. Because whatever your mind perceives, the heart will conceive. And it will become a physical manifestation. So we're speaking greatness in the year of 2021. And we're speaking greatness even in the here and now. God is working miracles by his hand. That's right. It's not by an individual. God uses us as vehicles to get the job done. But all honor and glory is bestowed upon him. And whatever we're able to do is through him, in him, and because of him. And I'm just thanking God with you on this Wower for Wednesday, preparing everyone, even myself when I'm coming back on Sunday, amen, to even go forward into the very presence of what God is doing in this new year. So as we're sitting here and we're reflecting back and just saying, thank you, God, just take time out of your day. I don't care where you work, what you have to do in your household, how many demands and things that it's overwhelming. Sometimes you've just got to drop it like it's hard and just say, thank you, Lord. I'm feeling exhausted after all of that I had to do, but I thank you, God, I'm healthy enough to feel being exhausted. Lord, as it seems, I have to pay out so many bills, but I thank you, God, for being Jehovah Jireh, giving me the financial provisions to pay those bills. Lord, it seems like sometimes everybody wants me to do something. I thank you, God, that people see me as a valuable commodity to call upon me. In all things, give thanks. Just give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. So we need to be more respectful and give God more praise. And this is what my mission is in the year of 2021, to take more time out to thank God for what he has done for me, what he's doing for me, and what he will continue to do. And know that the best will even get better. If you think it's been good, that's wonderful. But the best is yet to come. This is the mindset that we as believers have to maintain. That's right. So many times we forget and we start complaining. It is a natural intuitive of the human nature to complain. That's right. It's natural to do it, but sometimes we have to step outside of our feelings in order to experience the greatness of God, and we have to do it. Because you know why? We realize we're facing opposition, opposing forces in this world that's trying to destroy the very elementation and the very foundation of the true faith. Because this opposition doesn't want to see the miracles happen. This opposition does not want the manifestation of God's greatness in his presence to take manifestation. And as a result of us knowing these things, we have to be vigilant. We have to be diligent and be perpetuating in the manner of which we, not only is which we worship, the way that we maintain our integrity. We must maintain, because there's a standard, and that standard, I'm just going to just tell the truth, has been so greatly compromised because we want to get along with the world. We want the world to love us. We want the world to acknowledge us. But Jesus warned us. He said, broad is the way and wide is the path that leadeth into destruction, and many follow therein. The world has gotten churchy and the church has gotten worldly. You can't tell the difference between the two. That's saying, you think that that's pleasing to God? You think that God is pleased with seeing this type of behavior? You can't, the infusion has already taken place. And Jesus warned us again. He said, but straight is the way and narrow is the path that leadeth into eternal life, that leads into the abundant life, the joyous and the victorious life. But you know what? Because it's not the popular path to take, few follow therein. I'd rather take the straight and narrow path that leads to longevity, health, prosperity, knowing God, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, being obedient, and live to be 109 years old, than go down that broad path to have everything that the flesh wants and what the flesh desires and be cut off way before time. And that's what people are doing. There's a great power failure in the belief system. The belief system has become so compromised, so infused with worldliness, it's become powerless. They're not experiencing the very miracles of God. You think that God wants to withhold the miracles? You think that the power that Jesus Christ gave unction unto all of us to have and to operate and to carry on this mission, you think that he's glorified by these things? He's not. When God is not pleased, there's going to be some casualty. When God is not pleased, there's going to be some rub shaking going on. When God is not happy, oh, the grief process will just expand and expound even greater. We've got to walk the straight and the narrow. Despite what we see others doing, we've got to do what is right. And this is what we're going to bring in the new year with, walking the straight and the narrow path. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness at night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hand. Oh, Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked springeth the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is they that shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire upon mine enemy, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To shew that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I have read for your listening consideration and your soul's inspiration the 92nd division of Psalms. That's my attitude. That's my latitude for the new year. Even in the here and now, still 2020 year, I'm going to take that progressive pronunciation and take it into the new year and just watch the hand of God move in a supernatural way. And that's what you need to do. This is a powerful psalm because it's telling us that those who obey God and walk in his standards, who desire the works of his hands, shall be prosperous, while those who have spoken against us and those who have tried to remove us or bring us to a level where we're denigrated or compromised, God will allow us to see his wrath upon them. He will smite them with his hand and destroy them right before us. But we shall sit back and reap the blessings of Abraham, of divine favor. Even as we grow older, our health is great now. It will even be greater. Our prosperity is excellent now. It will be even more excellent. Our children may be walking in a way that is standard to our expectations. They shall even become more standardized. Because why? We are walking in the fruits of his righteousness and sprawling like the cedar of Lebanon. It doesn't. Have you ever seen a cedar tree in Lebanon? Oh, that tree may sit at a riverbank, but its branches are so expeditious, are so expansive, it can stretch as far as a mile or more. That's showing how the vein of prosperity is a continuating factor with those who walk in the truth, but those who accept and acknowledge the truth. God is not slack concerning his promise. We're just slack concerning the way that we accept his promises, the way that we walk in his promise. It's not just written on paper just for you to read. It's there to become a part of your persona. It's to be a part of your metaphysical being. Because you know we are metaphysical beings. We are physical matter. We are cosmic matter, or we say spirit matter and soul matter. So we're trifold beings. The word of God is meant to nurture the metaphysical man. And see, the Holy Spirit is part of the metaphysical man. And it is to become a source of our environment. It's structuring our environment, structuring our lives. And this is what it's meant to do. And here on the Man of Reality, we will continue to walk the walk as we talk the talk. See, a lot of people can get up and they can just yell and scream, express all these emotions. Emotions are good for the moment. They tickle one's fancy and get one's attention. But after the emotions are gone, after the fancy is no longer tickled, you've got to deal with reality. The reality is we have to lean and depend on God to be our all in all. That's what it boils down to. No organization, no individual, nothing but God. Nothing but the authority of Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what we must depend on. And that's it. And we know this. And we must ascertain this perpetually. And that we should keep these things in remembrance. Listen, any time we should let them slip. And if we let them slip, we just might fall. There's nothing more unpleasant than taking a fall. Because, you know, a fall is unpredictable. You may get a various types of injuries that you don't even know you have when you fall. You might look on the outside and say, well, I just skinned my knee. I just scraped my elbow. But internally, you don't know how that fall has impacted you. So this is why it's very important as we're walking the straight and narrow. Stay off that broad road. Ask God to help you to unprogram yourself into the vain religiosity of the world. And ask him that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will guide you into that narrow path and help you to navigate on that pathway. All you have to do is follow, because the truth, the road of the truth, is straight and it's narrow. It's just right in front of you. But see, that broad path, you got to look on your left side, you got to look on your right side, you got to look behind you, and in how in the world you'll see what's in front of you. No, you can't see the forest for the trees on that wide road. So let's stay off that wide road and maintain the integrity of the straight and the narrow path. That's a powerful word of knowledge for someone who's listening out there in our radio audience. Sometimes the revelatory knowledge doesn't come with fanciful words and elusive expressions. Sometimes it's plain and simple truth, the manner of reality. And as we're going into this new year, it's time for us to elevate. God wants to use so many of you out there in listening land, but you have allowed people, you have allowed vain religiosity, you have allowed your personal feelings, and your past comes back and haunts you. Let me tell you something about your past. Leave it there. The scriptures tell us that he that is in Christ is a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Leave it there. We all have past. We all have what they say, things that are in the closet we want to keep under lock and key and maintain them there. Let it stay. When you reflect back on the unpleasant things in your life, put it in the closet. Take that key, lock it, and then you know what you do to make sure you don't have to revisit back those unpleasant memoirs. Throw that key away. If you throw the key away, you won't have access to what's in that closet. And at a time when you know that you have overcome, take that mess and throw it out there in the dumpster where it belongs. Past infractions, past mistakes, past mishaps have no room for you on the straight and narrow path because it will weigh you down. And verse 3 says, oh, the devil, no, he can't do anything unless you give him permission to do it. That's why you've got to take whatever it is that you experienced in your time's past, lock it up and put it in the closet. You're not strong enough to throw it out in the dumpster yet. Put it in that closet and get rid of that key. And then when you become strong enough in the faith and operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Teacher, the Holy Keeper, then go to that closet and put that mess out in the dumpster and let somebody else have it. We have to lay aside those weights and those sins because weights can become very, very devastating. It can hinder you in your life. It can hinder you in the manner in which you operate and the way you look at yourself and the way you look at others. You've got to get rid of it. We need to go into this new year refreshed, revitalized, renewed, and in tip-top shape. To receive the best that God has to offer, we got to maintain the integrity to be the best that he would have us to be. Come with me to the first book in the 13th chapter of Corinthians. This is a very common book. You know the Apostle Paul had a time dealing with the church of Corinthians. This is the New Testament. It was considered the most important city in Greece in Paul's day, and it was a place of great commerce, and that means a lot of different merchants and business associations and a lot of religious organizations came through this particular city in Greece. It was considered as literally the Mecca of the Grecian culture. And so, you know, a lot was going on there, you know, with various nationalities, the Turks, the Byzantinians, the Hittites, all these various, and the Assyrians, all these various cultures were coming there because this was a Mecca, you know, marketplaces, various business establishments. So there was a lot of things going on. And as a result, the people that were there, the believers there, were challenged with whether or not they would compromise with the paganistic rituals and practices of these various religious associations. See, that's the reason why religion can be a very dangerous thing. It can cause separation because you're looking at denominational factors, and you take the M and the N and shift the paradigm of the letters in the word denomination, you got demonation. It can cause divisions amongst people and cause people to go to war, to combat, and to literally shed blood because God is a God of unity and transparency. He doesn't deal in denominations. We do that because we want to prove that we're holier than the others. We want to prove that we're superior. No, there is but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one creator of the universe, and that's God. That is what we're supposed to do. Thing has salvation frees you from religious organizations. When you have salvation, you don't need a religious organization. You know, you sin, you fall short, you have an advocate through Jesus Christ, who will plead our cause to the Heavenly Father. And he will be just to forgive us and remove that infraction from us. When you have a relationship with God, you know this. You're not depending on other people, organizations, denominations to pull you through. No. You know that it's the blood of Jesus that keeps you clean and cleanses you of all unrighteousness. It's just that simple. And as a result of all the things that Apostle Paul experienced there, he felt it needful and necessary to just go to the believers and to inform them of the fact that they cannot be engaging in these immoral behaviors of pagan worship, of commuting and compromising their beliefs to become a part of the affluent society. This is another thing, too. A lot of our self-professed Christian believers have become affluent because they compromise their beliefs to become more like the world because they wanted to prosper. Prosperity comes from God. God can cause the most insubordinate individual who never had any like for you to become your benefactor, to become your supporter. He can do it. Look what he did with Nebuchadnezzar. Who would ever think that Nebuchadnezzar would be a support system for the Hebrew people? You know what he tried to do to the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He got angry because they wouldn't bow to him. And he had them thrown into the fiery furnace, and he came to recognize who these men were, and he respected them and regarded them and called upon them. So God can do the same thing here and now. Let go and let him. See, salvation frees you up to experience God when religion holds you down and tells you you got to follow these rules. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. God didn't come to bind us and to tie us down and to limit us. He came to free us. We can experience a joyful life, experience the abundance of excellent health, of loving families, of loving relationships, of prosperity. He came to free us up so we can experience those things. And the only limitations we have are the limitations that we take because we disobey and follow that broad path. Get on the right path. It's just that simple. So Apostle Paul experienced all these things, so he had to go there and to share the truth with these believers. I'm just going to hold on for a moment. All the oppression that this man experienced because of what the people refused to do. So Paul had his work cut out for him. As we go on into the year, we're going to talk more into the book of Corinthians, but we need to get to the 13th chapter. Sorry, I had to pause the station for a brief level of interactive identification. There was a situation I had to intervene on. Sometimes we have to be prepared for life's little surprises, but then we have to know how to respond. Now, here we go into the 13th chapter of the book of Corinthians, first book of Corinthians. You know there's two books, but the first book is setting the record straight. First verse says, though I speak with the tongues of men or the ability to master various languages and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Wow. What is the Apostle Paul saying? In all his frustration and his aggravation, he's saying you all are arguing about spiritual gifts. What spiritual gift is more significant? What position is more substantial? What type of operatives are more acclimating? You're arguing about all these things. He said, but let me tell you something. Though I can speak with the tongues of men, though I have position, though I have posture, though I have all, I don't have charity. And see, I want you to understand something, listeners. There's a difference between love and charity. See, love is reserved. Charity is love in motion. See, God so loved the world. I mean, he held such passion for us as his creations, because as you know, we were spirit children before we became physical, existing on the spiritual cosmic realm. We all had existed on that level, but his love allowed us to come into this world. Love gives cause, love gives reason, love gives explanation. Charity is the acting out of that reserve of love. Charity puts in motion what's in reserve. He says, I am nothing. That means I'm senseless. My existence is empty without putting my love into action. See, a lot of people say, I love you, I care about you. But the moment you call them and speak to them and say, you know, I'm in a spiritual bind right now, I could really use your help. Well, you know, I would, but I have other things, you know, that I have to do. And then there you go. Now, where is the love? Where is the love in action? Where is the love in motion? There is none. And this is what happens amongst
believers.
They get caught up into the mindset, I need my mind. And this is what they do. And as a result, they mess up and they mess up. And this is what Apostle Paul is saying. If you don't have love and action, you're wasting your time. You can talk about, oh, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm satisfied. Sanctify them through thy word. The word of God sanctifies us. It's not what we put on that sanctifies us. It's not what we take off in the natural expectation of things. It's what's in us that sanctifies us. The word is what separates us from unbelievers. Second verse, and though I have the gift of prophecy, a lot of people, everybody wants a spiritual gift so they can go out and display and give exhibition. Everybody wants to do it because they want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be recognized. They want to have all these things in the way that people can see them. And you know what? God is not pleased with exhibitions. God's not glorified through personal exhibitions. He's glorified when we walk in truth, when we walk in the light of the truth. This is what glorifies God. And he's saying, and I have the gift of prophecy and understand the mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. We put too much emphasis on gifts. Gifts and callings comes out of repentance. Did you know that? It's some people that have the gift where they can discern things. People call them, they have the extrasensory perception, ESP, and they can pick up frequency. And they can tell you things about yourself. Some people are born with that gift. No, the evidence of your translation from being a non-believer to being a believer is the ability to implement charity, love in action. You're not just talking the talk, you're walking the walk. Because I have seen people in times past when I was fellowshipping in a certain denomination, they would get up, they would shout the floor down, they would jump over the benches, they would sweat their clothing out, their hair out, and all these things. And then meanwhile, after the service concluded, you would speak to them, they would look at you like, who are you speaking to? Why would you talk to me? Or you see them in a public venue, be a totally different person. So that's not impressive. But the love in motion is what gets God's attention. It's what draws men to Christ. It's what brings people to the fold of salvation. It brings people to the level of wanting to experience a relationship with God because they see a change in you, a change in your behavior. You have an unexplained difference about you. This is what charity in motion does. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profited me nothing. He says, though I give, donate, and I give, I make sure I give to those that I are told that I have to give to be a part of the organization, and I do what I'm supposed to do to gain rightful referendum of what is the needful and necessary of me. Well, I'm being recognized. And though I say, you know what, I do all I can to help other people, that's good. But if you don't have love and motion, if your intentions are not right, if your charity is not implementing in your actions, you've just wasted your time and your resources. Charity is caring, not just for the moment, but forward on. Charity suffers long and is kind. That means that when you have the love of God in you, and this only way you can have charity is through the love of God, through Jesus Christ. You deal with situations you're not happy about it because it's a crucifixion on your flesh. It hurts your feelings because feelings are connected to the carnal man. It bothers you. It gets on your nerves. It disturbs your frequency. It disrupts your peace. You're not feeling it. You're not happy about it. But because you have the love of God through Jesus Christ, you maintain your integrity and know that God is in command. Envy if not. That means just because you got something and I don't have it, then I'm turning around saying, how did she get that? She don't deserve that. Having love in operative fashion in your life, you're not going to think that way. Charity vaunts if not itself. That means don't try to show off to make other people feel less than you are. It's not puffed up. That means it's not full of itself. It's not narcissistic. Some people want to come into a place and come in just at the right time when everyone's there so they can make a grandiose entrance. Charity does not operate in that manner, in that fashion. That is not what charity is. Charity is humble. Charity says, I do this because I have the love of God in me, and I know that God is using me as that extended arm to reach the needs of the people. I'll do it in quiet, not for a public display. Do not behave yourself unseemly. That means don't act out of character loud and obnoxious. You say, you know what I did? I gave so-and-so something. That is not charity. And go about, you do something for somebody, you go and tell everybody what you did. No, that's not charity. That's stupidity. You're looking to be recognized. You want recognition at the expense of others. God does not smile favorably upon such individuals. I need to tell you that. Does not seek her own. I mean, not trying to make a name of recognition for themselves. It's not easily provoked. That means don't get upset because the limelight didn't shine on me and, you know, and I did this. Who are they? Why are they getting recognized? Why are they being spoken of so kindly? So what? Jesus told us, do your good in secret. And said, he that seeth thee, the Almighty, will reward thee openly. But if you go publicly and so you can get recognition, that recognition and regards last before a season. But then after that, you're forgotten. Rejoice not in iniquity. That means don't uphold wrongdoing, but rejoice in the truth. See, some people are so dry, they're so full of dead bones, they want the music playing, they want the teacher or the preacher to get up and start yelling and screaming so they can dance and shout and act up and act out. Now, there's a time and a place for exuberating those spiritual reactions. There's a time and a place. But there is also a time and a place where we need to sit down and be taught. You have to run the car off gasoline. You can't run it off Jell-O. So too much sugar can be harmful to the system. We have to get the salt sometimes to balance the sugar out because we've been walking in a way that has been disruptive and disobedient, and God's not getting the glory out of our lives. So we have to do it according to his truth, his will, his work, and his way. Bears all things. That means tolerate. When you bear something, you tolerate it. This is what charity does. Believeth all things. I mean, according to the word of God, not what people tell you, not what people show you, but believeth all things in God, that things will get better. And endureth all things. That means tolerance. Some of us have very short tolerance. I know sometimes I have to ask God to help me with my level of tolerance because sometimes it's not very good. I don't sometimes maybe it's physical exhaustion, maybe sometimes it's mental, maybe frustration, because don't forget, we're also human. So the human factor sometimes kicks in and we can become short patient and sometimes overly aggressive. We have to ask God to help us because we can't help ourselves. But see, when you have charity operating in you, you will learn to endure all things. Charity never faileth. That means it will never let you down. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Some prophecies are not going to come to pass in your lifetime. And it's not that the person prophesied, but it's just that prophecy is only good for a season. Certain things are good for seasons. You wouldn't take your summer jacket and wear it out in the dead of winter and you live in the Pacific Northwest because you would catch a certain degree of unpleasantries. I want to say like the of unpleasantries because why? The season has shifted. So prophecies are contingent upon seasons. And then seasons produce reasons. Reasons produce the environment for the things to manifest. Well, they can fail. He says, but you know what? They shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Well, you know what I mean? You can talk, you can be the world's biggest talker. And you can talk. Finally, your mouth is going to shut. Because why? You no longer have the energy to continue talking. So your tongue will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Because see, knowledge, don't forget this. Knowledge is contingent to the societal system that it's functioning in. And this is how we produce various time intervals like ancient times, prehistoric times, present times, future times. Because why? It's only contingent to categorical measures. So that will also vanish, okay? And knowledge, it vanishes away. What's good today may be archaic and antiquated tomorrow and done away with. Look at all the various types of academic standard measurement testing procedures that we use, the CAT test, the Iowa test, the exit skills. And now we're doing what they call iReady and all these other types of standardized measurement testing to, you know, to validate or to evaluate a student's level of mastery for that grade level. It changes. So knowledge just changes. Don't get so comfortable in something that you've learned and say, well, I'm good, I'm good. No, you're not. You're complacent for the moment, but things are due to change without previous announcement. We know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is what? In part shall be done away with. That means that we understand right here and right now, we get it for this time being, but when this time interval is up and the, how do you say, the frequency changes, then this present time will be of no existential value unless it be used for memory's sake. It won't be productive and progressive for that period of time. We have to change with the time. He said, but when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. That means that when I became a mature adult, I came to recognize and to realize that I got to revise some things in my life so that I'm able to be fruitful and multiplicious, that I am blessed so that I can be a blessing to others. So this is what I had to do. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then the face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. He said, now I understand now. What's important in life is not just materialistical things, it's just not success and prosperity, it's understanding yourself and coming to grips with yourself. What's needful, what's necessary, what's needs and what's wants. I understand what it is now. He says, and now abideth faith. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith provides the pillar for the things that God will make manifest in your life through your confidence in him. He said, and hope. Hope is futuristic expectation, something you hope, you know, anticipate what happened down the road because you're being positive, you're doing the things that you need to do to produce those long-term results. That's the difference between faith and hope. See, faith says right now. Hope says somewhere along the line. But he says this, but the greatest of, and then there's charity. But the greatest of this is charity. Why is charity the greatest? Because, see, charity is through love in motion that we culture and cultivate the environment for great things to happen, that reach out that caring, that desire to touch others as we have been touched. This is what brings it all together. And this is what makes the manifestation of God's presence so extensive to the point that we experience his omnipotence. We experience his omniscience. We experience his omnipresence in our day-to-day lives. And this is what we all should strive to do. And listen, you have been such a blessing here on Man of Reality. Tune back in on Sunday and we'll see you then. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me, and that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Have a glorious, victorious, happy, productive, and prosperous new year, and we'll see you again on this Sunday. Oh, yeah.